I want you to get your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Brother Uriah, would you go back and get that chair that's back in the corner and just bring it up here and put it off to my right? Matthew chapter 7. My sermon today, it has a one-word title. It's called Doctrine. Doctrine. Matthew chapter number 7. I want you to find verse number 24. Matthew chapter 7, find verse number 24. Once you found it, would you stand with me, please? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and we'll stand out of reverence to the Word of God. And I'm going to read, starting with verse 24, all the way to the end of the chapter. The Bible says this, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." I'm going to read one other verse to you, and it's found in the book of Ephesians. It's Ephesians chapter 4, and it's verse number 14. The Bible says this, "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive." I want to talk to you about the word doctrine for just a little while today. And let me pray. Lord, the sermon is so simple and yet so foundational, so important, so urgent to those that have been around Christianity and been around the right kind of church for a long time. May they be reminded of the great importance of this subject. To those that are newer Christians, may they see the importance of the subject. May they decide to take it personally and to learn the doctrine of the Bible. Bless us with thy Holy Spirit's presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I call the sermon Doctrine. In the story that we read from Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is speaking and he's talking about there are two foundations. He mentions in verse 24 and 25 a rock foundation or a rock solid foundation, if you will. He also mentions a sandy foundation. Now, in a moment, there's a story about a flood. Boy, would we understand a story about a flood in our area. It wasn't that many months ago we faced major flooding. And if you understand a flood, then the importance of a strong foundation makes all the difference in the world. Now, I want to tell the story a little bit, and I want to apply some things to our lives about this. Let's look at that solid foundation, the rock. And here's what happened. A man builds a house. The Bible says he's a wise man. The foundation of that house determines the strength of that house. His foundation is upon a rock. Now, rain brought a flood to him, and it was heavy rain, and it was heavy wind, and the rain and the wind beat upon his house. But his house did not fall. His house survived because it was founded or built upon a rock. Now, there's a different story. Now, there's somebody that had built a house, but it was just built on the sand. So the sand had become the foundation. So a second man builds a house. Now, the first man was wise. The Bible says the second man was foolish. Now, remember, the foundation determines the strength of the house. His foundation is on the sand, this second man, and it's shifty, and it's unsecured. Again, the rain came, and the winds came, and it was heavy rain, and it brought a heavy flood, and it beat upon the house, And it uses the words, it tells us it fell. It fell. You know, there were homes all over our area when the rain and the wind came. The house made it through the wind and the rain. The foundation was still there. Now, there were other damage, obviously, from the foundation up, the wood and the appliances and things could be destroyed. But in many cases, that foundation was there. Well, it was a solid foundation. Now, this says when this house that was built on the sand fell, it says, and great was the fall of it. Now, I think that probably the same flood hit both of these homes at the same time. I think that's probably what the Bible's teaching. One house fell while the other one remained strong. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why does the same spiritual storm or attack come upon two different men or two different women or two different families? And maybe they go to the same church. But one falls away from God during the storm and the other stands firm. Picture it. Same church, same burden, comes to two different people. One made it through. The other didn't make it through. One stayed faithful to God. The other one didn't. One stayed in church. The other one didn't. Somewhere in here, God is saying there is a right and a wrong way to survive the storms. Let's see if we can figure out. Well, what is that? In verse 28 in that chapter, it says this, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Isn't that amazing? He tells his story and said, well, one made it and one didn't make it, and they were amazed at his doctrine. What is doctrine? That's foundational teachings, if you will. If you looked up the word doctrine in the Webster's Dictionary, they say it's a particular principle or position or policy that is taught or advocated. The word doctrine is really a Latin word. And as a Latin word, it's where we get our word doctor. Of course, you look at the word doctrine and you look at the word doctor and they're akin. So what's this talking about? When we talk about doctrine, doctrine is something that will keep you spiritually healthy. What does a doctor do? A doctor tries to keep you healthy, strong, through what? Usually foundational practices. But here they were astounded at Jesus' doctrine. Now listen again. I go back to the same story. It says in Matthew 7:24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now that's at the beginning of the story where Jesus begins to tell the story. And when we get to the end of the story, this thing that he was talking about is referred to as doctrine. He said, I want you to hear what I teach. He said, I don't want you just to hear it. I then want you to live it. And if you will hear what Jesus teaches and you'll live what Jesus teaches, you can have a strong foundation that will hold up when the storms hit you. You know what? I would like the people, the families at the Twin Rivers Baptist Church to have strong spiritual foundations. I don't want you to be a church dropout. I don't want you to become a has-been. You say, well, what will help with that? Evidently, had an awful lot to do with the doctrine that was taught. And at first glance, if you read the story, if you're in a hurry to hear the story, you might miss what he was saying. He was saying, you get your doctrine right. It is the foundation on which everything else is built. That will help you weather the storms in life. The people were astonished, the Bible says, at his doctrine. They were amazed. I think they were sweetly surprised. The Bible, and one of the reasons why, it says in verse 29 in the same story, it says, for he taught them as one having authority. In other words, Jesus wasn't debating his doctrine. He was a bit dogmatic about it. He said, this is how it is. He was sure of himself. He knew his stuff. I mean, why wouldn't Jesus know the Word of God? He was the Word of God. He perfectly
taught what he taught, and then he perfectly lived what he taught. And he was bold. He was not wishy-washy. They said it. For he taught them as one having authority. You know what Jesus said? He got up and he taught and he said, this is how it is, period. No question mark. No debate. This is how it is. And then it compared his teaching and his bold stance, and it said, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So now it's saying he taught very boldly this doctrine, that the doctrine was the foundation that will help you to hold up through the difficult things. He said, but he didn't teach as the scribes. You say, who were the scribes? The scribes were what you call religious note takers. They were writers, but not doers. They were listeners, but not livers. They were analyzers, but not people that were living. Now they went around writing things down. They looked religious while they wrote, but they didn't live religious. And Jesus here was a picture of a rock-solid foundation. The scribes were a picture of the sandy foundation, the religious spectators. Let me tell you something. You will not be a rock-solid type of a Christian. Look, if you listen to liberal Christian radio, you won't be rock-solid. You listen to liberal television, you won't be rock-solid. You go down to the liberal Christian bookstore and get materials, you're not going to find pure, solid doctrine at most of the stuff in the so-called Christian bookstore. You listen to a liberal preacher, you will not get the strong foundation that you need. Now, I want our people at our church, I want us to be wise, stable, mature. I want us to build our Christian lives on the solid foundation of Bible doctrine. Now, let me tell you something, folks. We're going to go through this life, and you're going to have multiple emotions, and things happen, and your emotions are going to be affected, and maybe you have your feelings hurt a little bit here, and something not go right for your feelings there. Let me tell you who I have the utmost confidence in. It's people that believe the right doctrine, and no matter how they feel, doctrine is an issue to them, because they will land on their feet. Why? That's what makes you strong. And Jesus is saying to these people, he said, you got people that build on a firm foundation, you have people that don't build on a firm foundation. When the storm comes, that weak foundation will get swept out from under them, and they're going to end up a mess in life. And if you said, well, to what is he referring? He said, it's the doctrine. It's foundational. Listen to this verse. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:14 that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Look, the people that grab a hold of the primary doctrines of the Bible and cling to them, they're not your quitters. They're not your insecure Christians. They're not shifty religiously. They're not weak in Bible knowledge. They're spiritually healthy. They're not part-timers. Those of you that are part-timers, you've got a doctrine problem. You have not accepted some doctrine. Maybe a simple doctrine like just being faithful. You've decided what faithfulness is rather than what God thinks faithfulness is. But doctrine makes all the difference in the world. That verse there, Ephesians 4:14, it said that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. This chair right here, this is a chair that I sat in when I sat on the platform. It's a pretty stable chair. It's not going anywhere. This is what I want my Christian life to be. I want to be stable. I'm anchored down. We might change the color of the way we paint the auditorium, and we might put some new carpet in. We might adjust the lighting here and there. But there are some things about the Twin Rivers Baptist Church that are not changing. You say, what are they? There are doctrines, because we didn't write them. God did. They're not changing. He said, I'm the Lord. I change not. I like my chair to be stable. Now, this is where a lot of Christians are. They've got a chair like this. Where are you at Sunday? Maybe at church. Maybe at the lake. What do you believe? All depends on what they said on the radio. Emotionally, spiritually, all over the place, unpredictable. It's what I am. It's what I want to be. Now, what would you think if this was your pastor's chair? Well, he taught us last week how important the purity of the King James Bible is. And then he changed his mind. And then he told us it was one of the other 400 perversions. Wouldn't you eventually get confused? You know, there are people like this all over the place. No stability. Now, there are some you can just depend on. They don't always have a lot of flair. Might not have a whole lot of pizzazz. Well, they'll just be where they're supposed to be, doing what they're supposed to do, the way it's supposed to be done. But you got all sorts of people out there that are like this. The Bible says that we henceforth be no more children. That's saying there's some infancy in their thinking. Tossed to and fro. To and fro. About with every wind of doctrine. Oh, there, the doctrine had something to do with the stability. And that's what we were told in Matthew chapter 7. I hope you like our music around the church. We intend for our music to be old-time religion music. I hope you like the youth activities. We want to have some good youth activities. I hope you like the ladies' fellowships. We want you to have a good time at the ladies' fellowship. Well, I sure do hope you like the men's prayer breakfast and what we do there. Well, I'll tell you something, folks. Bottom line, we better believe the Bible the right way. We better make sure that our doctrine is straight around our church. The problem with many people, they come for the peripheral, the secondary things, instead of the doctrine. Now, what will ground you and make you solid and make you strong is make sure your doctrine is right. Your knowing and living the doctrine of the Bible will keep you safe from the devil's attack. I'm not exactly sure I know all the reasons why. I just think God honors the doctrine. So you say, I'm going through a tough time in my life. Make sure you just hang on to the doctrines of the Bible while you do it. Bible will keep you safe. God will get you through it. Now stay with me. You say, well, what exactly is doctrine? Well, it's the teaching of the Bible. It's God's beliefs. It's God's way. Of course, the Bible is God's Word. In John 1:1 it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Who's speaking here? Well, the answer, Jesus. He is and was the walking Word of God. Jesus was the Word of God come in the flesh and into this world. In John 14:6 it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, Jesus, He is the truth. In John 17:17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. See, His word is truth. He is truth. Bible doctrines are the truths of God's word. Jesus is the truth, by the way. Bible doctrines are what Jesus is. And when people corrupt doctrines, they're tampering with the purity of what Jesus is. Doctrines are His mind. He said in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we are to believe doctrine. So what exactly is doctrine? Doctrine is the Bible. Doctrine is what Jesus is. Doctrine is the Word of God. Now, we are told that we're actually commanded to study doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Give attendance to doctrine. Give your attention to doctrine. You ought to want to learn doctrine. You know, there are some people that actually have a negative attitude toward doctrine. Now, you want to learn doctrine. You need to learn doctrine. Do you know what you believe? I want to tell you something, folks. It's a very, very smart thing. Bring your Bible to church. Bring your Bible to church. Oh, say, "Oh, but Pastor, I trust you." No, you're to trust the Bible. Bring your Bible to church. You say, "But Pastor, I believe what you're telling me." Bring your Bible to church. It's where you're going to learn doctrine. We need to study good doctrine. We need to study sound doctrine. We need to study pure doctrine. It's what the Bible tells us. Now, listen, when I was a young preacher boy, I was called to preach when I was 16 years of age. I didn't have any guidance. I knew that God had called me to preach, so I was going to become a preacher. Well, right away, I thought, I need to build myself up a little library. And so I would go to the Goodwill, and I started buying books. Anything that said Jesus on it, religious on it, and church on it, I bought it. I was going to build me a great big old library. I had Jehovah Witnesses, Watchtower, free books that cost you a dollar. I had Book of Mormon, you know, I had fake Bibles. And my dad caught it, and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I want to study." He said, "Son, don't study false doctrine to learn the true." And my dad told me the story. He said at Fort Knox, where they store money, he said they have people that understand what a counterfeit is. He said, and when they have someone that they want to find a counterfeit dollar, that someone has not studied every possible counterfeit so they could pick the counterfeit out of a lineup of dollars. He said, "Son, you know what they do? They study a pure $20 bill. That's all they study. They stare at it. They look at it. They analyze it. They stare at it. They look at it. They analyze it. They study it. They study it. They study it. And they so well know that pure $20 bill that any error that comes across their desk, they immediately pick up on it. Why? Because they were so familiar with purity, that which was not pure jumps off the page at them." And my dad said, "Son, you don't need to study all the bad stuff. You need to study all the good stuff. And when the bad stuff comes along in life, you'll be so well educated about the good stuff, you'll immediately notice the counterfeit or the bad stuff." I said, "Great." And I burn all the crummy books. We need to know the Bible. You need to know the Bible. Hey, let's not study the false to learn about the true. Let's study the true to learn about the false. We don't study the wrong answer for true and false tests. When you take a true and false test, do you study all the wrong answers? What do you study? The right answer. The Bible is the right answer. Purity is the right answer. So how will we know false doctrine, preacher, when we see it? By studying the true doctrine. Hey, the full presence of the truth means the absence of the false. If I'm telling you the truth, I'm not lying. Romans 9:1 says, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not." If I walk in the Spirit, I'm not in the flesh. Galatians 5:16. "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." God is light, in Him is no darkness. 1 John 1:5. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him. We declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Look, folks, pure light is the absence of darkness. You say, "I want to know the Bible." Don't study all the bad stuff. Study the good stuff. Don't study what's wrong. Study what's right. Don't study the negative. Study the positive. Stay in your Bible. Know the Bible. You say, "Do I need to take a class that tells me all the false doctrines?" There's no class that could teach you all the false doctrines. They're everywhere. There's a multitude. But I'll tell you something. We have a textbook written by Almighty God, and He said, "This is pure. Study it." Look at it. Read it. Memorize it. Know it. And I will promise you, when false doctrine comes and you have been baptized in truth, you'll say, that's not right. That's not what the Bible teaches, because you're familiar with right. Become deeply familiar with the right doctrine, and you will immediately notice the wrong doctrine. So, doctrine virtually is God, the Word of God. We're commanded to study it. As a preacher, I'm to teach and preach doctrine. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice, it's profitable. Their doctrine is associated with being profitable. You say, preacher, I don't feel like I'm a profitable Christian. Are you right doctrinally? Is it important to you? I'll tell you though, I think God is telling us right doctrine can be profitable. I think right doctrine is productive. It accomplishes something. Hey, the teaching of doctrine would not be a favorite subject of most people. But it's a little laborious. There's a little bit of work in it. But it is extremely important. You know, if the preacher or the Sunday school teacher get up and they start talking about doctrine, it's hard because people want to go to sleep. They prefer to listen to music at church. They prefer to have a puppet show. Tell me a funny story. And we will. And we have. And we will again. But I'm going to tell you something. You've got to learn the Bible. You've got to see what God said. You've got to be founded in the Bible. You've got to learn the doctrine of the Bible. You say, why? Because you're going to face the storms of life. And a storm hit, and one guy had built his house on a rock, and another guy had built his house on the sand, and when the storm hit, it hit them both the same way, and one guy, his house remained firm, and the other guy, he got swept away. Why? His doctrine. He was established and anchored in the Bible. When I stand up and I say to you, you need to read your Bible, you think it's just this thing that the preacher just keeps on saying, and it's not all that important. I've got news for you. You've got to get into the Word of God. You've got to read the Bible. You've got to believe the Bible. You've got to memorize the Bible. Why? You are not going to face the hardships of life and make it through successfully without the foundation, the doctrine of the Bible. I want to preach it. We can't always tell stories. Sometimes you've got to learn the Scripture and the truth of it. Let me say number four. Doctrine is described a lot of different ways in the Bible. A lot of different descriptions. For instance, the Bible describes some doctrine as good. Good doctrine. Proverbs 4:2 says, "For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." That's God's doctrine. It's good doctrine. Bible doctrine, it's good doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6 mentions good doctrine. Do you know what? If God mentions good doctrine, there must be an opposite. There must be bad doctrine. Yeah, oh, nah. It's all about God, I know, but which God? If there is good doctrine, there is bad doctrine. Some people think as long as it happens to mention Jesus every once in a while, it's got to be good. I'm sorry, that's not true. You say, well, it had the word church in it. What church do you go to? Well, it really doesn't matter. It's the church. They're all of God. No, they're not. They're not. You know, salvation, getting people saved, that's a good doctrine. Amen. Salvation by grace through faith. Did you know there's a teaching that is called the security of the believer? That's a good doctrine. It's in the Bible. There's a teaching in the Bible about baptism. You know what? It comes after someone gets saved. It's not salvation. It's an act of obedience after salvation. It's by immersion. That means going under the water. It's done out of obedience. That's good. Did you know that you are supposed to understand that you did not evolve from a monkey according to the Bible? Evolution is bad doctrine. It is a lie. It is heresy. The virgin birth. That's a good doctrine. Throughout the Bible, God refers to doctrine in different ways. He said, there's good. That means there's got to be bad. Hey, the Bible says there's a thing called sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 1:10. for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Sound, that's solid. That's free from imperfection or decay. It's healthy, it's well, it's not discarded, it's not decaying. Did you know the Bible talks about doctrines of devils? That's the words the Bible uses. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Huh. Doctrines of devils. Do you know that there are doctrines promoted by the devil? You say, name one. Did you get saved any other way than by grace through faith? All forms of salvation other than salvation by grace through faith is a doctrine of the devil. You say, but they're sincere. Well, they're sincerely wrong. What is a doctrine of the devil? I think it is a doctrine promoted by the devil. A false salvation would be a doctrine of the devil. Maybe you say, well, I think it means something else. Okay, maybe it means doctrines where demonology is involved. Vampires, werewolves, zombies, Harry Potty. I don't know. But I will tell you this. God said there are doctrines of devils. The exaltation of demonology is all over the place today. Look at video games. Packed full of it. The Bible says there are things called strange doctrines. And now we're not talking about Uncle Roy at your hillbilly, family get-together on the mountainside. You say, there's some strange people there. I understand. Now, strange doctrines. Hebrews 13:9 says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Notice that, carried about. It's blown all over the place. I heard it on radio. It's on the internet. Got to be true. On TV. Some of you this way spiritually. You're this way emotionally. It's what you are religiously. You know what you're supposed to be? Locked down. Locked tight. It's not up for debate. But it said there, strange doctrines. Be not carried about with strange doctrines. I can tell you a strange doctrine that I have dealt with in a very limited way and don't really want to deal with it again. You know that in the Bible there's a story about the Apostle Paul. He had a snake latch on to his hand or arm, a viper, a venomous snake. He shook it off. And everybody said, he must be a god. Now, if I had had the snake, it wouldn't even have to bite me. I would have ran away. They said, he's not a god. I don't like snakes. They don't like me. We got this in common. But the Apostle Paul shook that snake off. They said, you must be a god. Do you realize today there is a sect in religion that use snakes in their worship? Call them snake charmers. They said it's a proof of the presence of the power of God. You say, that's weird. Change the word to strange. Because that's how the Bible describes it. I'll promise you, we have missionaries in here that could tell you about some really strange stuff that's done out there in the name of Jesus Christ. Strange doctrine. So the Bible says there's such thing as good doctrine. There's such thing as sound doctrine. There's such thing as doctrine of devils. There's such thing as strange doctrine. It mentions pure doctrine. Job 11:4. For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure. Now, God wants you to be stable. God wants you to sit in the chair, be locked down, and not waver, and know what you believe, and believe what you know, and not be changing, and be stable. And you can survive the storms of life that way. But if you're not careful, you'll be like this. You won't be stable. Again, we might change a lot of little things around our church, the color of the carpet, the kind of chair, where a wall was, where we had an electrical outlet, but there's one thing that's just not changing. It is the primary, foundational beliefs of the Bible. And I believe that makes us stable. Stable. Look, if you're a guest in our church, if you come for a while, you'll figure it out. We're going to say basically the same thing next year we said last year. You know what we said 3 years ago? Same thing we said last year that we plan to say next year. You say, well, I need some new stuff. No, you need the old stuff. The old stuff is the foundational stuff. The old stuff is what built America. The old stuff is what brought revival in our country. The new stuff does this to you. Makes you unstable. Now, God wants you to survive the spiritual storms in life. He wants you to know the good, sound, dependable doctrines that don't change, so you can lock onto them spiritually and lock onto them emotionally, and you'll be stable. Let me tell you this. I got to tell you, and the fifth point of my outline is this. Some Christians will not endure sound doctrine. They won't endure it. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn their ears away from the truth and shall be turned to fables. You know what a fable is? It's a made up story. You know, the Bible says there'll come a day when people say, I do not want to hear the truth. Tell me something I like. Tell me something that is favorable to me. Do not tell me there is a hell. Do not tell me I am responsible to tell others about Jesus Christ. Do not tell me I am to tithe. Do not tell me I'm to be faithful to church. I don't want to hear it. You tickle my ears. You pat me on the back. You rub my belly. You make me feel good about myself. But do not tell me the truth. I'll leave here before I'll hear it. I'm sorry. I'm staying in the chair. And you know what happens in a church? There's some that don't endure, but there's some that do. They'll hang in there. He said, I want to find a place where he doesn't raise his voice. They're everywhere. And the people are asleep in the pew. We like it, don't we? I want to do what I want. Tickle my ears, preacher. Make me laugh. Make me smile. Give me Earl and Roy. By the way, I am describing what's going on in America religiously right now. Right now. You say, well, there will be people that will leave a church like ours because we teach, thus saith the Lord. They'll say, they are just too dogmatic. They're narrow-minded. Hard-headed. Why, thank you. But I didn't choose to be hard-headed. I was told I had to be. I got to tell you the truth. You know what they'll call us? Bible thumpers. I can do it left-handed. Ambidextrous Bible thumper. They'll call you a Bible fanatic. Do you know what a fan is? A fan of something. I wonder what they're a fan of. Now, why would they do that? Why would they not endure sound doctrine? Listen to the verse. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, heap to themselves. What's that mean? I'll pull anybody I can in and around me, and let's do what our flesh wants. My own lust. I want it my way. We're supposed to live the Bible God's way, not our way, but because of their own lust. Have you ever seen the big 18-wheeler? They got plastered down the side of the trailer. Attend the church of your choice. Do you know what you're supposed to do? Attend the church of God's choice. Humanism has overtaken religion in America. It's sad. They have itching ears. You say, what's that mean? Well, it doesn't mean they do this all the way through church. Now, you have termites in your head, so that's why you scratch your ear. You say they have itching ears. What's that mean? They want something that, you know, when you scratch something that itches, there's a tantalizing fulfillment. There's something physically, there's something that you get out of it that pleases you. Now, there's plenty that you and I can get out of it that pleases us, but I'm going to tell you something. If you hear the right kind of preaching, whether you like it or not, it's good for you. They want doctrine that pleases them. They don't want doctrine. They don't want doctrine like doctrine of separation or holiness. Now, there are false doctrines that will pull you away from God severely. The Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Exodus 20 verse 16 says there's false witnesses. Exodus 23:1 says false reports. Exodus 23:7 says false matters. Psalm 119:104 says false ways. Proverbs 11:1 talks about false balances. Proverbs 17:4 talks about false lips. Proverbs 25:14 talks about false gifts. Jeremiah 14:14 talks about false vision. Jeremiah 23:32 talks about false dreams. Matthew 7:15 talks about false prophets. 2 Peter 2:1 talks about false teachers. So there's false doctrines. And there are many false matters that go along with it. Now, let me teach you something, and it'll take me 3 or 4 minutes, and we're done. Living the doctrines you know will help you to understand the doctrines that you don't. Living the doctrines that you know will help you to understand the doctrines you don't know. But let me give you a scripture that proves what I just said. John 7, verse 16 and 17 says, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, in other words, you do what you know, he shall know of the doctrine. If you will do what you've been told, God can give you more to do. We are not only to hear doctrine, but we're to live it. Let me ask you a question. If your child was sitting at the table and they had a big old scoop of ice cream, and your child said, Mama, Daddy, give me another scoop of ice cream. But what? Well, wonder if they haven't touched the ice cream you've already given them. What might you say? You might say, eat what I gave you, and I'll give you more. Can I tell you something? There's nothing more sweet than the Word of God. I really happen to believe God would like to give you more, but you haven't done anything with what He's already given you. There are things in your life you've been told, you've heard it, but you're not going to do anything with it. You got a big old scoop of ice cream. You've got a big old scoop of doctrinal training. You've got a big old scoop of the truth on your plate right now, but you don't live it. You don't do anything about it. You don't apply it to your life. It's not changing you. It's not challenging you. It's not in your life on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You say, oh, God, give me some more. And God said, you eat the ice cream I gave you. I'll give you another dip. Matter of fact, I'll keep scooping it at you so fast you won't know what to do with it all. And the reason why some of you don't get anything out of your Bible reading is you read it as entertainment. You didn't read it to change your life. And because you didn't do anything with what you were given, God is under no obligation to give you more. Come to Sunday school, get the doctrine, then live it. Come to morning church, get the doctrine, and live it. Come to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night, get the doctrine, and live it. You say, preacher, I don't understand this. Let's see if there's something that you do understand that you just flat out won't do. It may be there's some understanding connected to your obedience. Your obedience. A parent tells the toddler not to touch the electrical outlet. Does the child need to understand? They best just not touch it, huh? There are some things you say, well, I'm not going to obey God in this area. I don't have enough understanding. I just go ahead and step out and trust God's understanding and don't be so dependent on your own. If God said, don't do that, don't do that. If God said, do that, do that. It's, you say, well, I don't want to live that way. I know. Most people don't want to live by faith.
and want to live by sight. But if you don't remember anything I've said today, remember the chairs. Lock down. It's in the Bible. Believe it. Stand for it. Live it. It's not going to change. Some of you need to be careful because your life is a whole lot like this chair. Religious roller coaster. It's so much fun. Don't be like that. Don't be moved all over the place on what you believe. Lock into it. And you're going to find when you lock into one thing, God's going to give you some other things to lock into pretty quick. Every wind of doctrine, just all over the place. Don't let that be you spiritually. Don't let that be you emotionally. Get locked in. The story was about two foundations. One that was rock solid, one that was made of sand. The people, when Jesus got done, they said, "That's amazing doctrine." So what made the difference? Whether they made it through the storm or not was based on the foundation. What is the foundation in the Christian life? It's our beliefs. The foundation. When someone calls us a fundamentalist, what's it talking about? The fundamentals of the Bible. The foundational teachings. They don't change. Lock down, Christian.